Hi, my name is Bobby Kamari and I want to thank you for joining me for the Living in Light podcast, where we explore the beautiful ways that God shows up with his love, light and liberty in and through everyday people like you and me. The theme for season 3 is the preparation and maturity of the bride, where we cultivate a deeper hunger and devotion for our bridegroom as we prepare for his return, as we go against the grain of culture, as we rise up in being salt and light, bold in truth and radical in love, and doing all of this from a place of deep intimacy with the Lord.
This is part 2 of my conversation with Taya Patel. Part 1 was amazing. I hope you guys have already enjoyed that. If you haven't, then make sure you do. This is part 2.
And the second thing I did was I started hanging out with and communicating with godly women more. Not that I wanted to remove the people in my current past or past life, but just this understanding just settled in me that I needed to be influenced in a different way. And that the community I was surrounded by at home, at school, at university, were not the people that I needed to guide me into biblical purity and biblical womanhood. And that's by no fault of their own. They gave me what they can. And I was just merely like, oh, I want more. So I'm gonna go, you know, like if you were academically wanting to find out more about something, you would go to university or you'd study a master's. Like you would put action behind that and surround yourself with an environment and resources to facilitate that education. So I also prayed for God, like for godly women, specifically women, because I really feel heat on sisterhood and spiritual mothers. And that's what I needed more than spiritual fathers and men around me, godly men around me. And I think that's in God's design for us as women as well, that we need women around us who love the Lord and will hold us accountable and challenge us, but also love us and share their own personal revelation and relationship with the Lord. So God answered my prayers and I was blessed with a really great community, a new church that I started attending, but also two girls who poured into me just so well, and they loved the Lord. They were on fire for the Lord, born again Christians, and we just were on the complete same page when it came to scripture and understanding the relationship that we desire with the Father. So that really helped, because they were able to tell me in love, like, what are you doing? Or why are you doing that? And what is your heart motivation behind that? Why are you wearing that? And what's the reason you're wearing that? Are you wearing that to impress someone? Are you wearing that for your own confidence? Is that confidence masking self-hatred? And it was just like picking parts of my mind and my heart that had never been exposed before. And I use that word because that's exactly what started happening. It's still happening and it's painful, but I feel like there's an exposure, which links really well into what you carry, Bobby, is like living in light. And that actually, in order for a photo to develop, it needs exposure. In order for us to develop, we need exposure. And so that is what I have been and am in the process of, and I think I will be until I die, is just exposing the big things, the big sins that have come out, but now focusing on exposing the little foxes and the things that I'm going to battle and struggle with in life.
So good, so good, so good. I love what you have shared about that, like discipleship around you, which is so crucial. But then the word of God, like, I think that one of the reasons that the body of Christ is often so wishy-washy and almost at times like cultural Christianity is because there's so much biblical illiteracy, you know, like as Christians, there are so many Christians that don't know their Bible, don't know the word of God, like don't understand the spiritual realm. And there is such a desperate need. And the Lord spoke to me about this last summer, like it's like his heart was grieving because his bride wasn't mature, you know, bride was like a child, like still on milk when she should have been on meat, you know. And I felt like his pain, I felt his grief, and actually so much of, you know, the powerlessness that's often found in the churches because we don't know the word of God. Or like you said, that you hadn't really been reading the word, you'd been feeding on it secondhand, you know, someone else's revelation, someone else's time of abiding in the Lord, like, you know, like this secondary revelation. Yeah. And it wasn't until you actually began to meditate and chew on the word that the reality of Jesus's word, because he is the word, you know, he is the word made flesh, it only actually became real. And that's where the power was, you know, in the living word of God. And I do believe that the Lord yearns for his bride, the church, to know him through the scriptures and the spirit, like both, you know, because if you just know the Lord through the spirit, then you are not receiving the truth, you know. Yeah. And you can experience the grace, and you know, you can sometimes be emotionally led, you know, but that gets balanced with the word of God. And if you're just in the word but you don't know the Lord through the spirit of God, then you're also going to be lacking. But coupled together, that's the word, that's what the word says, that we need spirit and truth. And yeah. I think that unless we're actually abiding in the word of God, not visiting it, not just nibbling on it, but literally feasting on it as a lifestyle, like living inside of it, I think that brings such an accelerated breakthrough. Yeah. And you just, you literally just get set free. But then what you said about the exposure, because in Hebrews 4:12-16, where it's speaking about the word of God being a double-edged sword and it cuts through soul and spirit and it's alive and energizing, etc. So the word of God is so powerful. But then in 13, it goes on to say that it exposes, like nothing is hidden from God. Yes. And so sometimes when we become Christian, or as Christians, sometimes if the overt sins have been dealt with, we can sometimes think we're good, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm not drinking anymore, gossiping anymore. But you could have unforgiveness in your heart, you could have self-hate in your heart, you could have a pride issue in your heart. And what brings it to the surface is the word of God, you know, like, because the word of God exposes, and we're naked before God, before Jesus, our high priest. And so when we meditate and chew on the word, it brings to the surface, like it cuts through soul and spirit, it divides what's emotional from what's truly spirit, and then all the gunk comes to the surface. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I have got pride in me. Oh my gosh, why am I fearful? Oh my gosh, I don't trust God in that area. But it's because you let the magnifying glass of his living word begin to, you know, highlight those places which otherwise just stay under the surface. So I definitely think that the more that you've been abiding in the word in such an accelerated way over the last 3 years, I feel like you are coming into greater places of like victory and maturity and breakthrough, because that's the power of the living word, not just the word, but the living word, where the spirit is working hand in hand with the word of God.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so praise Jesus for that. So sweetie, you mentioned about biblical purity, you spoke about sisterhood. So tell me a little bit about I guess what that's looked like in your life when it comes to walking in that, and actually being salt and light in helping other women also get a revelation of their beautiful, beautiful identity in Christ. What does that look like for you?
It's been a journey, which I think is so kind of God, because the things that you experience the most, like toil and brokenness in, that he can now use for his kingdom, so praise God. I think it all started, just a really quick overview, I've battled, kind of what I was saying earlier, I was battling with a lot of comparison over my skin color, over the way I looked, and then that fed into just a desire to be liked and loved, and I'm going to be really raw and say that that did lead into seeking that in the world, and practically that was like looking at pornography, that was looking on social media when it just come out, and being so aware of body image and models and the perfect dream idealistic body and face, and always comparing to the girls around me, thinking you're so much more beautiful than I am. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. Wish I could change this about myself. And that just fed my soul in the wrong way, but fed it despite, because words truly have the power of life and death. And I've seen that time and time again. And that thread kind of followed through until this glorious time where I've been able to just understand biblical purity. And just want to focus on this one first, because biblical purity for me, my whole Christian walk up until 3 years ago, when I had this radical experience and encounter with the Lord, I thought biblical purity is just sexual purity. And oh my gosh, was I wrong? And now this understanding of biblical purity is like holiness, the way I talk, the way my heart is postured, the way I have relationships with people, my motivations for relationships, my body language, the way I dress. Like, there's just so many different avenues that are under this umbrella of biblical purity that the Lord has just been teasing out of me and stretching me in and making me aware of. And it makes so much sense when you reflect on what your desires are in the temporary, in terms of like what the world can offer you. And then you link that to what God is talking about in terms of purity, like true purity. And I think, oh gosh, I could go on and on and on about this, but I think just personally for me, with biblical purity, it helped me understand how women are made and ultimately then help me have relationships with them. And I think the most primary relationships that I can compare purity and see the difference between before and after, like BC and AD, was with my mum and my sister. The two closest females in my life, my mother obviously being the one who birthed me and led me well in this Christian walk, but also then my sister. And I just want to bring her into this conversation because she is just a fiery woman of God. And there's a testimony and heat on our relationship that I feel like the Lord is wanting to pull out right now. And it's been such a journey with our friendship, but our sisterhood. And when I discovered biblical purity, I can reflect now and see that there was a pivotal shift in our relationship. And that came from me understanding my identity in Christ and receiving a lot of freedom and no longer reflecting and projecting and constantly competing and comparing to my younger sister. And I think growing up, a lot of sisters can probably resonate and relate to this, but we were quite close in age and there was always a natural comparison, older versus younger, taller versus shorter, body image and all of these things, especially family as well, family comparison and family comparing family. So just all seeded in and completely out of our control, that this was just a product of the fallen world. Mm-hmm. And then that seeded in with us and our individual brokenness and being very different people, but being constantly compared. And so, and not communicating. And I think that's also my heart. I carry a lot of a desire to see in this day and age in our society, biblical communication, like good internal external communication. What does that look like outside of our phone screens? What does that look like outside of social media? How do we communicate nowadays? Like how do we access the heart and not just surface level emotion? And so, yeah, this journey with Kira was amazing. Kira is my sister, by the way, was amazing. And it's only amazing after 10 years of hatred, 10 years of arguments, 10 years of disagreements, 10 years of not understanding one another and just constantly comparing and competing with our brokenness, to get to a point where I'd received freedom in all of the areas that I've mentioned and understood what purity is and understood myself as the bride of Christ and deeply desiring this covenant, getting ready for marriage to the Lamb. Because ultimately that's what we were made for, our heavenly bridegroom, and that nothing else will satisfy. I finally came to that realization, nothing else will satisfy. And that is when our relationship completely changed.
Yeah.
And now we then were talking, we were communicating our emotions, our revelations, what we were struggling with, things that we have fallen short of. And we're just such different people. And I realized not long after we started communicating and talking that actually she was watching my life much closer than I realized. And the Holy Spirit had prompted me to share everything that I had suffered through during university, during secondary school, with my mum and my sister, because they are the two people that I respected their opinion the most. And when I shared it to them, that's when true freedom came, because it was like, that is the whole, that they will be disappointed in me. They will never look at me the same. Like, they know me the most. But then God just came in and said, no, I love you the most and I know you the best.
Yeah.
And they met me with so much grace and so much love and kindness. Oh my goodness, couldn't fathom it. And then from that point, God just completely reconciled our relationship, completely restored. I now not only love her because she's my sister, but I like her and she likes me, and we have a great friendship.
Yeah. I love that. It's like when we, you know, like when we are actually correctly positioned, where Jesus has his lordship as our bridegroom, when that is correctly positioned, then our place in the body is also correctly positioned, and our place in our environment is correctly positioned. Because I think when we're out of sync with the Lord, then there is that competition, because you're always trying to find your place. You know, you're always trying to, even if it's within family, like wherever it is, you're trying to find your place. But when you're aligned with the Lord and there's that deep calling unto deep, and it's like, you know who you are in the Lord, and that he is your focus, that he is the love of your life, that you are living for him, then everything else around us like recalibrates. You know, we stop competing and we begin to complement those that are around us, like we begin to align with them, as opposed to have like that, you know, that kind of resistance. So yeah, it's just a testament to like that shalom that the Lord releases in his presence, and just that, you know, that recalibration that comes when he makes crooked paths straight. Like, it's so beautiful. You can't buy this stuff, you can't manufacture it yourself, you can only just receive it, you know, and give him the glory. I love that. I love that. I love that. Let's talk about YWAM. Let's talk about what being part of what, because I mean, for a start, in my day, you know, during the war back then, if someone had said like, oh, someone's a missionary, you know, like even in my generation, the idea of a missionary, you know, is very different now to what a missionary might be. Or if you see someone who's in full-time ministry, for me, I see myself as being in full-time ministry, and that involves fashion, that involves education, that involves like so many creative things. Of course, it involves preaching and it involves ministering, but it's like a unique DNA that is countercultural, but it's even countercultural to church culture, you know, in many ways. And in this day and age, the idea of a missionary is like so exciting, because it's not necessarily what someone might, you know, perceive a missionary to be. And so talk to me a little bit about you deciding to be a missionary, or the Lord like leading you into this, and what being a missionary looks like for you with YWAM. Like, unpack that and the impact that is having on people around you, how people are coming to know the Lord through your laid down life, and the way that Jesus gets to show off through that.
Yeah, it makes me so sad hearing that churches nowadays, because it is true, especially like the UK church, that they're not missional, and And I grew up not understanding the Great Commission. I grew up not really understanding the gravity and the importance of that Matthew 28, that we are called to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's so sad. I was like, again, that word sleeping comes to mind. Like, I was asleep on the true gospel. And so
just one sec, what I will say is that there are so many churches that are
sorry
no because I don't want to, like, His Beautiful Precious Bride, like, it's like whenever I might say something about this is not happening in the church, it must not happening in the church, I have to just remind myself that this is His bride.
Yeah. You know?
And thank God, because there are actually so many churches that are so missional, that are doing things that are unconventional, they're out of the box. But the reality is that there are many, many churches who are not, you know, who just like we've both said, they are. And I think the pandemic has been so great and such a blessing in shattering that churchianity mindset where, you know, people were doing things, Christians were doing things unto church and unto the church structure. But the pandemic came and we went from, you know, churchianity to eyes on Jesus. And when your eyes are on Jesus, like, the lid just comes off, you know, because when your eyes are on Jesus, every box gets broken. You know, there is no box, like the kingdom shows up. And so what might have been the normal way to do something just completely goes, you know, out of the, you know, it's no longer even in the grid anymore. And you do things that are unconventional, and because that is kingdom. Kingdom is creativity, is innovation. It's doing things that are kingdom, it's doing things that are led by His Spirit and not by structure. So yes, praise Jesus. There are so many churches that are missional minded, but there are also many churches that are not. And that is heartbreaking.
Yeah. And so I was really unaware of the Great Commission. I was really unaware of what being a missionary was and evangelism. And I now have a much deeper understanding. I also just want to say that I think everyone is a missionary. I kind of hate that word. Because I think everywhere that you are, whether it's corporate, whether it's in whatever the sphere is that you're in, finance, law, doctor, you know, school, a student, a university student, like, that is a mission field. And that is a space where you are surrounded by people that potentially do not know the Lord and have not heard the gospel. And so that is an opportunity for you to share the gospel. And so, yes, technically I am a full-time missionary as a label, but I think we all are. If we're, you know, we're, anyone who's a Christian is called to be a full-time missionary.
100%.
But it just looks different. And so within my job role, I work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, an incredible nonprofit organization. And I'm actually based in the one of the biggest campuses in the UK, which is in Harvenden. And I would have never imagined that I would be working and doing what I'm doing now. And that is the humor of the Lord. But also, I can't imagine myself anywhere else right now. So it kind of all started a few years ago when I'd heard about YWAM through some girlfriends, and I just remember them coming back and they were so fired up and so hungry for the Lord and just radiant. They were glowing. And I was like, I want some of what they've got. And thank the Lord I didn't go back then, because my heart posture would have been very misled and misguided. But in God's timing, I actually went this year, so in 2023. And I went, like I said earlier, with the desire to fall in love with the Lord more. And that's exactly what happened. And I went to grow in my gifts. I went to grow in hearing God's voice and knowing more about, you know, my biblical literacy and the doctrine. And that's exactly what I got. And I would describe discipleship training schools within the YWAM organization as an incubator. And it basically fast-tracked me from where I think I would naturally have gone in 10, 15 years' time, but within 6 months. Placing me in a space surrounded by like-minded people, with resources, with facilities, with speakers, like super anointed, gifted speakers, and just a time to focus undistracted with Jesus. So yeah, I went on this crazy journey. I did it in the awful place of Hawaii, completely horrific. You know? No, it was such a blessing. I felt like I was on a honeymoon with the Lord. And I would just recommend anyone to do it. But I remember coming out of this time being so much more grounded in who God was to me and what I was meant to be doing with my life. And in that time, I also got an impartation of the evangelist. And I also got an understanding of what evangelism even means. And actually that it was something that God has marked me for, but I had never had vocabulary for it. And basically, for people who are listening who don't know, it's just this heart to carry the gospel to the end of the earth and to whoever we're talking to, just translating through our testimony, through the stories that we share, the image and face of Jesus and what he did on the cross. And so leaving that time, I came away with no longer false confidence, but God's deep confidence to communicate the gospel and to just know what I'm talking about. Just truly believe what I'm talking about. Like going in, probably believing God was real, like 85%, and leaving saying, I'm never turning back. That song, like, I'm like, there's no turning back now. Mm. And there's just like a ferocity inside of me, like a righteous anger that we need to be sharing this with everyone we meet in whatever way they need to receive it, because that doesn't mean shouting and forcing Jesus down their throats, but it means coming and meeting that person where they are, because that's what Jesus would do. And then after listening to them, sharing and being like, this is what is on offer for you. This is what life walking with Jesus looks like. And it's not like any other religion, because it's real. And he is the way and the truth and the life. And so that is why I think I'm still in YWAM. I was actually going to go to India and move there long term. I really had God place a heart for the nation and the people, and especially women in India, to know Jesus and to know their identities. And it was all set up, it was all laid out. And then God asked me to surrender my future plans, surrender everything post this discipleship training school. And so I did. It was really hard. I did it though. And then one day, just before I came home, actually, a girl came up to me and said, I have a word for you. And she basically gave me a prophetic word, which was super spot on, about being in the UK. And I was like, I don't want to be in the UK. I don't want to be at home. I'm going to India. And I just felt the Lord remind me, you surrendered it to me, remember? Yeah. And in that same day, I had two or three other people contact me or talk to me about this opportunity that had come up in the UK to join a touring ministry, a new pioneering touring ministry, with the aim that they would travel across the UK, not only preaching the gospel and sharing the love of Jesus, but trying to see revival in the UK and uniting the UK church, specifically aimed at youth and young adults, Gen Z. Yeah. Again, no desire. Like I did not want to go back home, but I felt heat on this, and I felt that it was disobedience for me not to explore it further. So I ended up coming back home and going to the YWAM Harpenden base, which funnily enough is 15 minutes away from where I was born and grew up. So again, the Lord is hilarious. And I went over for a meeting and immediately had the peace of the Lord that this is where I was meant to be. But still not that excitement, still not really sure what or why. And then over the last 11 weeks, that's how fresh it's been since I joined Youth with a Mission and joined Neighbours and Nations, this touring ministry that I'm a part of. Over the last 11 weeks, God has just been depositing how much he adores the UK church and the bride of Christ. And that no matter if I was involved or not, that a move of the Spirit would be happening in this nation, despite.
Yeah.
And that would I choose, it was a choice, it was always a choice, would I choose to step in and have the privilege and honor of partnering with him and using the skills and the gift sets that he's given me to see that come to fruition. And I'm still in awe. I'm still daily in reverence of what I get to do and the people that I get to meet and the testimonies that I get to hear of sharing this message of living a fully surrendered all-in life for Jesus. No longer lukewarm, 2 feet in with the undiluted gospel, a deep sense of belonging and purpose. And the world has never made us secure or confident or truly beautiful, but Jesus does. And just being able to get to talk to people about that. Oh, best job in the world. That's biased, but.
It is so precious. I definitely feel like something that I just am so encouraged by. I feel like there is such a surrender in the body of Christ that has come after seasons and years and, you know, just lifetimes of wavering, you know, like going after other lovers, you know, in one capacity or another, you know, like going to idols, whether it's for one day, 1 minute, 1 year, you know, one decade. There's been this pull away and then to him, away and to him. But I feel that the Lord has been doing such a beautiful wooing work in his bride that there is this assured yes that the bride is really just echoing in the bride's heart now. And I was actually sharing this with some people this week on a Zoom call, that I just think there is a resounding yes that has come from the bride that says, I don't want any other lover. I don't want any lesser love. It's got to be you. It's got to be you. Like, literally, I watched last night, I was just watching The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel's story. And I haven't watched it for several years, and I was watching it last night. It was so good. But she always says to her husband, it's you and only you. You know, she always says it's you and only you. Even when he was acting like a muppet, even when he just didn't want to know Jesus, she would say to him, you, only you. And I do feel that that's where the bride is at. Like it's you and only you. It's you and only you. And like you said, with you know what the Lord said to you, that this is going to happen whether you're on board or not. It's a privilege to be part of this romance. It's a privilege to be part of what I'm about to do. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a delight. It's an experience of an eternity to be part of what I am doing. And I just feel that, there's this resounding yes in the bride that's saying, I want to be part of this. I don't want to be anywhere else. You know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days anywhere else, you know. But I love everything you have shared, sweetie pie, and I'm going to get you to pray. And I feel like there's so many different things that you could pray and obviously be led by the Lord in terms of how you but I mean, I think definitely let's pray for there to be a greater longing in the hearts of the bride to be ready for her bridegroom, and to just not give the time of day to any lesser love, anything that would distract or anything that would, any counterfeit, like just that wouldn't even get the time of day, because he alone, him and only him. But then also I feel like your surrender, your yes, you know, because there'll be so many that aren't there yet. There'll be so many that want to wholeheartedly live for the Lord, but actually, they've made a plan to go to India. You know, they've made a plan to do this. They've made a plan to do that. And maybe that surrender where it was like, you know what, actually, even though I've made all these plans and even though I'm not feeling like the buzz of, this is what the Lord is saying, but I'm going to surrender my future to you so that I can hear your heart for my life. I think it will be beautiful for you to just pray for anyone who's wrestling with that surrender and anything else that the Lord lays on.
Amazing. Let's do it. Firstly, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just lift up all the every single gratitude to you, Lord, for this life that we get to live, for giving breath in our lungs and for being so detailed in your design of us and your creation of our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our souls and our spirits. Jesus, I just want to pray right now that you are just instilling in us this deep desire for belonging and purpose, and that actually nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that even when you give us these dreams and hopes, that when you ask us to surrender them, that's not you crushing them. That's you saying, it's not now in your timing, it's in my timing. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you are promise keeper and, oh, you are not promise breaker.
Wow, yeah, it's good. Thank you, Jesus.
That you delight in the desires of our heart, not just one, not just two, but all of the desires.
Mm-hmm.
And that you are going to answer every single prayer, even the prayers we don't pray out loud, every single prayer you hear, you listen to. No matter the sound of our voice, quiet, loud, silent, shouting, you are hearing every single one and you are answering them.
Yeah.
And they may not look like how we think they will, but we have to trust that if you've done it before, that you will do it again. And it has to be in your timing, because your ways are so much greater than our ways. Lord, thank you that you are the deliverer. And I actually think that in this context, Father, you are going to deliver our hopes. You are delivering our dreams. You're delivering purity. You are delivering this beautiful sense of biblical womanhood, biblical sexuality, biblical purity, biblical sisterhood. And amongst so many other dreams and hopes and visions that we have, Father, I want to thank you that you have plans to prosper us and not harm us. Like you say in Jeremiah, Father, that they are plans to give us a hope and a future.
Yeah.
A hope and a future that you have written all of our days in your book. You've recorded every single day, and you've also captured every tear. That everything that comes out of us, everything that happens inwardly in our mind, in our body, you love all of it. You don't miss a beat. You capture every single part of the emotion. Every thought, every feeling, every revelation, and you save it up. And that's how much you love us, that's how much you care for us. So Father, I just wanna pray that if there's been any lies that we've believed about ourselves, or lies the enemy has been whispering us for years, decades even, over who we are, over our cleanliness, over our purity, but also over the knowledge that you are the promise keeper and promise maker. Father, I want to break agreement with any doubt and unbelief that has come in, that you will not answer our prayers, that you do not listen. And I also want to thank you, Father, that you just are so powerful. Holy Spirit, you are just coming in and guiding us, that we are not alone, that you are a helper and an advocate. You are handmade for us. And you're so personal to us, and you're so intimate to us, that you're not the same to anybody else. So we shouldn't compare.
Yeah.
Because we can't compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you so much, Father, for the plans that you have for us. I want to pray for just clarity and wisdom on when we look back at our past, when we look back at our experiences, just how far you've brought us, and areas that we were working against spiritual warfare, or times where you were really with us in a room and we can be aware of your tangible presence, but maybe at the time we weren't. Father, I want to pray that you just bring that to mind, bring those moments and memories to mind, because it's just a constant reminder that you have never left us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Like, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the only thing that doesn't change. You're the only thing that never fails. When everything else in the world is temporary, you are the only permanent thing. And that's saying something. So, Father, we want to hold on to the permanency of you, the constancy of you, the steadfastness. And we just want to pray that you sever any fragility that the world has convinced us is actually strength. Father, we want to pray that you just, break off any ties, any bondage that we have to worldly desires, because you want all of us. You're a jealous God, and you desire us to just look at you, the first love, once again with those eyes of desire, solely focused on you. Solely focused on you, Father. It's that song. It's like, I want to spend all of my days looking at your face and I'll never get over it. I can spend the rest of my life looking into your eyes and I'll never get over it. It will nothing else will satisfy. Thank you, Jesus. It's only you. We lack nothing in you. Only you will satisfy. Nothing else will. And another song that's come to mind is, it's really random. I don't know whether I should sing it or not, but it's it says, there's gonna be a wedding. It's the reason that I'm living, to marry the Lamb. I think there's something so precious about that, Father, that there's gonna be a wedding. There is a wedding. It's the reason that we're living, and it's to marry the Lamb. It's to marry you, Jesus, our bridegroom, that you are the covenant, that you, the vow that we want to make is fully, wholeheartedly to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, that that is who you are in your design of us, that you destined for us to be with our bridegroom. So, yeah, we just want to pray all these things in your mighty name. We just plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of us, and yeah, bless this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Lord, I just also quickly want to pray. I just thank you, Lord, that you are indeed preparing your bride, Lord, and that she will be found ready. She will be found full of moral courage and purity, and she'll be one that is consecrated and set apart, that she will rise up and take her place, that she will occupy till you come, that she will be salt and light, and she will do all of this from such a place of deep, deep intimacy with you, that your bride would be completely devoted to you. And Lord, I also felt that as Taya was praying, that there were a few that were listening that could really resonate with what Taya was saying about the third culture, and really just feeling like a misfit and feeling as if they don't belong for a whole different set of reasons. It might not even be to do with their heritage. It might be to do with another reason. But Lord, we ask God that that orphan spirit, that that nomadic misfit spirit, Lord, we ask that you would uproot it right now in the hearts of those that are grappling with a sense of not belonging, Lord. And I pray just for your spirit of adoption, Lord, to be released through the airwaves right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that sons and daughters would rise up in this moment and know that they are yours, Lord, that your bride would be so secure in your love, that she would know that it is in you and inside of your love that she finds out who she is and what she was made for. And so every place of feeling out of sync, every place of feeling that you don't fit in, Lord, I ask that crooked paths would be made straight even in this moment, and a sense of belonging would be, it would literally explode in the hearts of any listener who has been looking for their place. And Lord, we declare that every person who is listening is found in you, is loved by you, is hidden inside of you, and that they were made for a purpose. They were made in love, by love, with love, for love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sweetheart, how can people get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you?
Best way is Instagram DM. I'm not afraid of an Instagram DM, and also email. So those are the best ways. I'm on those pretty much every day. So
I will definitely pop all of that information in the description. Taya, thank you so much. I have loved having this conversation with you. I'm sure every single one who's listening has just been uber, uber, uber blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your yeses to the Lord. Thank you for everything that you have shared. Yeah, and just for choosing to be salt and light, you know, because it is a choice, and you have chosen to be salt and light, and you've chosen to be in the room when Jesus is doing what only he can do, you know. So bless you. Thank you, my darling. I have loved you.
I feel so honored. Thank you for inviting me, and it has been so much fun.
My absolute pleasure. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's show. All related social media handles and links can be found in the notes section. If you did enjoy today's episode, then please do feel free to share it, and do subscribe to the podcast if you want to know when a new episode is heading your way. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do that via Instagram or Facebook, or you can head over to livinginlight.co.uk. I cannot wait to be with you guys again, and thank you so much for listening to the Living in Light podcast. You're beautiful, so beautiful to me. You're beautiful. See to the fearful.